It's 8:50 and time for our first look at the commodity markets for this Friday morning with our pre-opening report. Here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. The early calls for hog prices in the Midwest direct markets today are mostly steady, but a few market managers in the Western Corn Belt held firmer ideas for loads to be delivered early next week. Terminals are seen trading steady, with top prices ranging from $39 to $39.50. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $39.50. And the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, March 15th, negotiated swine purchases were 12,710. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $51.50 to $62.16. The weighted average, $58.69, a loss of $1.22 from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $44.06 to $52.20, the weighted average, $48.48. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 7,652, the base price range, $51.25 to $64.50, the weighted average, $58.90, a loss of $1.15 from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $41.93 to $49.50, and the weighted average was $46.83.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather, AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Dave. And we're going to start out this morning just talking about the long-range outlooks that the National Weather Service's Climate Prediction Center put out yesterday. And first off, they put out an outlook for the month of April. And what that is saying temperature-wise is much of the middle part of the country has a tilt in the odds for above-average temperatures. In fact, much of the Great Plains hard red winter wheat belt has about a 40% chance of being above average. That means that there's a much lesser chance that the temperatures will be below average. One thing I should point out with any of these maps that you look at, the numbers start to get a little confusing, but they put things into categories of above average, near average, or below, and also equal chances, meaning that there's a 33 1/3% chance that you'll be above, near, or below normal or average during that period. And so equal chances really means no forecast. But from Illinois westward, there's a tilt in the odds toward warmer than average. And I just want to point out the tilt in the odds means there's still a chance temperatures could be near average or below. But that tilt in the odds certainly favors above average temperatures in the Western Corn Belt and the Great Plains hard red winter wheat belt back into the desert southwest. The only place in the country with a tilt in the odds to cooler than average, just right along the Southern California coast, so around Los Angeles and San Diego. So that's what's going on as far as the outlook for April for temperature. For precipitation, most of the Midwest in that equal chances area, but there is a tilt in the odds to wetter than average in the upper Midwest. That would be from northwestern Iowa up into Minnesota, the eastern Dakotas, and northeastern Nebraska. Now, if that verifies, that would be better for the Midwest production than if it was in the eastern Midwest, because it was Indiana and Ohio and surrounding areas, the eastern portions of the Midwest, that had the wettest conditions in fall that led to not completing field work. And going into the this spring, they've also had a wet winter, so the fields are already soaked. The below average tilt in the odds for precipitation, Florida and the desert southwest. Now, there are many overlapping 30 or 90 day outlooks here, 3 month outlooks, and we could just talk about them all day. In general, there's not much that is really being gleaned for the hard red winter wheat belt or the Midwest corn belt. The tilt in the odds is to a little bit more than average temperature, warmer than average in the Delta and Southeast. So that's about it as we go through summer. Otherwise, just about anything is possible. There's no forecast of any I guess you could say, skill for looking at summer in terms of precipitation across most of the major growing areas of the United States, which is typical. And then that gets to the next question. What about El Nino and La Nina? And as we've been saying here right along, there's no good direct correlation between summertime weather and El Nino or La Nina in the Midwest Corn Belt or any other of the major growing areas of the U.S. So anytime that's mentioned, that's just one of the many puzzle pieces that will influence the weather this year. And you should use caution with anybody that says El Nino or La Nina equals something, whatever that equals is for the Midwest. Okay, over the weekend, we're going to be cool across the Midwest Corn Belt. It will be warming up in the Great Plains Hard Red Winter Wheat Belt. That will lead to crops coming out of dormancy. Some showers will move through the Midwest Sunday night into Monday. And then we have a wetter weather pattern starting to set up later next week. And that could cause some more problems with soaking up the fields here, especially in the eastern Midwest as we get into the latter part of next week and next weekend. There's also been some rain moving through South America of late, so that's slowing down the harvest operations a little bit. And some of that rain is now going through southern portions of Brazil, pushing northward. That's a look at the growing areas. I'm meteorologist Ed Keezer.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City May wheat opened at 480 up a quarter, last trade down a quarter. July 483 up 1 3/4, last trade up a quarter. September at 491 opened unchanged, and last trade was unchanged. May wheat at the board of trade opened at 455 down a half, last trade unchanged. July 468 and a quarter down 1 1/4, last trade down 1 1/4. May corn opened at 397 down 3/4, last trade down 3 3/4. July 408 and a quarter down 3/4, last trade down 3 1/2. December 396 and 3/4, down 3/4, last trade down 2 3/4. May beans opened at 749, down 1 1/2, last trade down 3 1/4. July 764 and a quarter, down 2 1/4, last trade down 3 1/2. Novi's 790 unchanged, last trade down 2. May soybean meal opened at 217, down 40, last trade down 90. May soybean oil opened at 30.53, down 3, last trade down 10. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Well, I am doing well for a Friday, sir, and the Illini play tonight. I'm looking forward to that as well. Looking forward to seeing how this week will end in the markets, where it's been beat up again by the funds and liquidation. Overnight, we saw in the lead option May, the 100-day moving average get tagged.
Yeah, we did, Dave. The charts, that 396 was some pretty strong support in May. Some of the technicians in Chicago felt that would hold, and obviously it didn't do it overnight. When you look at that chart, we've got the bottom side of the gap on May corn is 390. That was made prior to that January crop report. And, we're going to see how strong the 390 is now. A lot of people are feeling, are they asking the question, is this another trap? We had a serious sell-off in the grain markets ahead of the January report, and the government came out with a bullish number, and we were off to the races. That's been the popular question. But, yeah, right now the bears are in control. And I think the key part is what you just mentioned. The funds in corn have been extremely aggressive sellers. In the last five sessions, they've sold over 40,000 contracts of corn. They've liquidated over 10% of their position. And we've moved corn down 55 cents off its high.
Soybeans, equally depressing if you're looking at it from a technical standpoint, although the big sell-off was earlier in this year, late February. Right now, we're looking, though, at the possibility that we're going to blow through the 50-day moving average as well as the March lows.
Yeah, we're flirting with that. You're right. We're just a couple of cents away. from doing the same thing, whether you look at the May contract, July or November. You're right, we're down there in all levels. But the bean market, fundamentally has been finding more support, because part of the reason for this sell-off and the funds getting out is they're looking at 9, 10 million more corn acres than last year. That compares to maybe January, they were thinking only an 8 million acre increase. So we've picked up a feeling of the number of acres. That comes from a survey, whether ADM pulls it off or other people that are conducting these numbers. And because of that, it's caused the negativity in the corn and bean market hasn't been so much. Look for today. You know, the first hour of the session might be pretty quiet. We're probably going to start lower across the board following the overnights. But Informa is supposed to come out with their acreage estimate at 10:30. If they come in line another 9.5-10 million more than last year, like the market's trading, look for the market to stay under pressure all day.
Thank you very much, Ed.
You bet, Dave. Thank you.
Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. You are listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We are on the web at WILLAG.org.